I got good news. Oh, my eyeballs are all washed and I can see. Good morning, church. What a great song. I think since the very first time I ever heard that song until just now, it's always caused me to feel this way. We are so blessed. We are products of those who came before us who gave. We're all products, and I'm thankful for that. Good song, good message, good job. Thank you, Brandy. If you have a Bible with you this morning, please turn to Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. Oh, goodness. Give you just a small amount of history leading up to this particular place. God called Moses at the burning bush, told him, I need you to go to Egypt. I need you to tell Pharaoh to let the Hebrew slaves go into the desert so that they might worship me. That was a clear cut, straight up front command. Moses objected, and although he offered a bunch of excuses why he was not the right guy for the job, finally God got angry and Moses agreed. He left his home in Midian, which is basically the backside of nowhere, where he'd spent the last 40 years being a shepherd, taking care of the sheep of his father-in-law. He journeyed to Egypt with his brother Aaron as his spokesman there. And one of the first things that they did when they got to that place was they met with the elders to tell them what God had promised to do. And that was to set them free from their terrible bondage of Pharaoh, a bondage that had lasted for more than 400 years at that particular time. So Moses and Aaron, they met with Pharaoh in chapter 5, verse 1, and they soon learned that this guy wasn't going to be very easy to deal with. He had a pretty serious attitude. He was extremely proud of himself and who he was and the power that he had. So the lesson today basically deals a little bit with the character of Pharaoh and the lessons learned from his particular thinking and behavior. First of all, Pharaoh didn't acknowledge that God was God. If you continue to read through chapter 5, and you know, he was very much an imposing personality. He was considered a god in Egypt, and he was worshipped as such. So Pharaoh, having been worshipped as a god, he had this big old huge ego and attitude. Colossal structures and all kinds of sculptures bearing his name were around the cities in Egypt. He was the law. What he said, that was what was going to happen. He had the power of life and death. Was not afraid to use it. He did not answer to anyone. He was incredibly prideful. He was incredibly willful, stubborn. He was basically nobody to mess with, and that was the guy that God had called Moses to go and speak to. So God did something for Moses that helped him out a little bit. He said, listen, when you go there, he's not going to listen to you. He's only going to relent under compulsion to do so. And you know, that's pretty much true today. Arrogant people seldom give God even as much as a glance. If you are your own God, then you don't need another God. If you answer to no one, then you will continue to answer to no one. If no one can be your God, you will be your own God. And God would say to Moses, listen, these plagues are going to be the only way that I'm going to be able to get his attention. So if you continue to read in chapter 5, and we won't at this particular point, what happens is Moses and Aaron, they meet with Pharaoh and they make a demand. Now listen, making a demand to a guy who has no accountability to anybody else, who answers to no one else, is fruitless, okay? It's just not going to get them anywhere. So Pharaoh flatly denies their request, and he says three very important things that help us to understand his character a little bit. He said in verse 2 of chapter 5, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? The second thing he says, I know not the Lord. And the third thing he says is, neither will I let Israel go. Pharaoh did not acknowledge that God was in control, and he wasn't. So when you're number one in the land, you don't answer to anybody else, especially to someone you don't know, telling you what to do. Now, here's the deal. If you think you have power, I have a suggestion for you. Try telling somebody else's dog what to do. Should you think you're above and beyond and you should be worshipped, just try that sometime. Step in somebody's house and tell their Rottweiler what to do and see how well that works for you, okay? See, we have a problem today in our country and around the world. Sadly enough, there exists people who don't understand the concept of the Lordship of Christ. He is not only my Savior, but he is my Lord. And because he is my Savior and my Lord, there are certain things that he has demanded of me. There are expectations that come with our relationship. And oftentimes, let's just face it, we don't like to hear chapter and verse because it requires something from us. Okay? I get that. And by the way, in case you're wondering, it's the same for preachers as it is for those of you that I'm looking out at and smiling at this morning. I get to deal with this long before you hear it, okay? I get to understand this as best I can. We don't like being told what to do. Let's just get real. Let's just call it what it is. Most people on this planet do not like being told what to do. When you begin to read the Word of God, you begin to realize right away that there are certain things here that are not negotiable. God didn't ask my opinion. He didn't want my opinion. And if I gave it to him, it really would not matter anyway. So here's the deal. One of the things that would help you and I as believers is when we read the Word of God and we begin to realize that there are some things in here that are not suggestions, that they're commands. And when we fail to do those things, God calls that disobedience, which is a sin, which comes with consequences. And no, it's not fun to stand up here and say that to you. The difference between that and Pharaoh is that Pharaoh answered to nobody. He didn't recognize God as God. He was top dog, so to speak. He was large and in charge, so to speak, in our language today. So Moses and Aaron made the mistake of walking in there and demanding that he let the children of Israel go. God said, you need to let them go so they can go out in the desert and worship me. And Pharaoh's response, well, golly, who is this Lord that says I'm supposed to obey his voice and let Israel go? And I don't know who that is, nor will I let them go. That was his response. Understand, God had said to them already, he's not going to listen to you. But you go and you tell him anyway. So, you read on down a little bit. Moses and Aaron go in for round two with Pharaoh. And they tell him exactly the same thing as they did before, but this time they make it in form of a request. I believe with all my heart that how you say what you have to say oftentimes is every bit as important as what you have to say. How you and I communicate the truth, however painful it might be, oftentimes means as much as the fact that we communicate the truth. Let me give you an example. Would you please close the door? Shut the door! Same request, is it not? Which one warms up people to you and gives them an enthusiasm to maybe go do something with the door, and which one of them causes them to immediately judge you and consider just what level jerk you really are? You see what I'm saying? Moses and Aaron learned a very valuable lesson at the very get-go. You don't walk in there and somebody who has nobody to answer to and tell them what they're supposed to do. So they go back and they make a request. Well, he denies it anyway. And if you read on down through there, you know, you read 3:18, you'll see that Moses and Aaron didn't alter God's plan whatsoever. They just changed it from a demand to a request, and it was nearly word for word. Pharaoh refuses again, like he always does. And nor did the idea that maybe his slaves were going to get a little day off and the productivity would be lost. And so he said, no, we're not going to do this, not going to happen, and so forth. And in response, he increased their workload. He made their life more miserable, and guess who got the blame? Moses and Aaron. So absolute power absolutely corrupts. Pharaoh, and all, it was all the God in himself that he was ever going to need, and all the God that he figured anybody else would need, and he would soon realize the error of that particular thinking and ways, but it would be powerful. If you remember correctly and you read the book of Exodus, you realize that there are 10 plagues. When God sends Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh, it winds up being 10 plagues. And if you read them closely, you'll begin to realize that they get worse as time goes on. It starts out with the water being turned to blood, and then it goes to frogs, and then it goes to something else and so forth. And we'll talk about one of those in just a few minutes. You see, the thing about Pharaoh is he just didn't get it. He didn't want to get it. He had no desire to get it. So he, you know, Moses would become discouraged by this process. But he does the right thing. When he became discouraged, he took it to the Lord, asked God to help him out. He told God, I don't think you treated your people just exactly right. And he wanted to know why God sent him in the first place. It wasn't anything he really wanted to do. Why do you have me here? And so forth. We're like that sometimes. When it doesn't go well, we want to begin to quiz God. Well, God, why did you put me in this particular place? Why have you called me to do this? Why have you sent me here knowing it's going to be this kind of difficult? Sometimes some of the greatest growth that we have in our personal lives comes with doing things that we might not want to do. Second thing that happened with Pharaoh is he did not acknowledge his accountability to other people. Well, boy, this is huge. The whole nation suffered as a result of Pharaoh's callous and obstinate response to God. When you fail to acknowledge God, you also fail to live accountable to others. Why is that? Because you become your own God, and your own mentality will cause you to act as if you are above and therefore not accountable to anyone else. The sad reality is, if we read this scripture closely, what takes place here is simple. You're going to see the word all over and over again. All the land, all the livestock, all the men and beasts. And tragically, when it came to its bitter end, all of the firstborn. Plagues begin to get worse and worse and worse. And think about this for just a minute. When the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you and I, and we get levels of conviction about how we live and what we're doing and what we're not doing, as the Holy Spirit makes the Word of God real to us as we hear it preached or taught or sung or prayed, as the Holy Spirit continues to make the Word of God real to you and I, it becomes really uncomfortable. There are times we just would not want to hear that. But the reality of the matter is it gets worse for everyone who has to deal with us as well. Have you ever been under conviction from the Holy Spirit, and because you were denying it or running from it or ignoring it, it made things worse for you, and in turn it made things worse for those who had to deal with you as well? You see, Pharaoh didn't really care that the plagues were going to affect all of Egypt, because you see, all Pharaoh cared about was Pharaoh. Whatever he wanted was all that mattered to him. He didn't care if all the people or all the beasts or tragically all of the firstborn were affected. But here's what we need to hear today. No dictator, no general, no Pharaoh, no president escapes accountability for very long. God's judgment wheel might turn slowly, but it turns and it grinds exceedingly fine. God will not be mocked. His word will not come back void to him. If God promised it, God will deliver it. Now, I realize that's not fun to hear. That's not fun to preach, by the way, in case you're wondering. But that's the truth, okay? Nothing, according to Hebrews 4:13, nothing escapes God's knowledge. God is aware before we ever do what we do or don't do what we don't do. The plagues here are going to demonstrate the thoroughness of God's judgment. It's not a pretty picture, especially in the days of feel-good Christianity, but it's accurate and it's true to life. And I would be doing a terrible injustice if I stood up here and ignored the truth. If I stood here and lied to you because I wanted you to feel better, that would be incredibly wrong. It would be a sin, and there would be consequences for that sin. I have said to you over and over, and I will continue to say to you over and over, and it's something that I am deeply passionate about. I will love you with the truth. It's as simple as that. That's what I'm called to do. How I say that to you, I hope, first of all, you hear my heart. And second of all, you hear my words. Because trust me, some of this stuff just isn't easy to hear. It's not easy for anyone to hear. You see, thirdly, Pharaoh did not acknowledge his need to change. If you read them from front to back, and over and over and over again, you will realize that not a single plague softened Pharaoh's heart. Nothing softened his heart. He didn't need to change in his own mind. He remained in a cement shell of indifference, is what one of the commentaries said. Nothing changed his heart toward God. The only way he relented at all was under pressure from his own court, but the dust had barely even cleared when the Israelites left Egypt that Pharaoh's entire army wasn't after them to bring them back. The one spiritual reality that strikes me is that the longer you refuse to do God's will, the less sensitive your conscience becomes and the harder your heart becomes. See, what we don't realize is that, well, Lord, I will give it to you someday. Lord, I'll make this change someday, somewhere down the road, maybe tomorrow. Not today. Not ready today, not willing today. Pharaoh for all time is going to be an example of what it means to resist and reject the goodness of God. Randy, he was thankful for nothing. Absolutely nothing was he thankful for. And I'm amazed sometimes at how much heartache and how much pain people are willing to endure rather than to acknowledge that they're in desperate need to make necessary changes. For some people, it might be an entire lifestyle change. For others, it might need to be just an adjustment or two. You see, sometimes when you look at what's wrong with a car, you realize that the engine needs to be replaced. But other times, it just needs an adjustment, Paul. You just need to turn a couple of screws here and there or put a couple of parts on it here and there. It's not a major thing. You can get it done in an afternoon. But other times, there's lots and lots of problems, and it needs a whole brand new engine. For the sad part is that sometimes it didn't have to happen. I remember the commercial a long time ago, and I can't remember the company, but it said, pay me now or pay me later. Remember that commercial? Talking about, I think it's changing your oil filter or doing something like this. I mean, you can either ignore that as long as you want to. It's like putting a piece of tape on your dash over the check engine light. Wow, yeah, I raised the hood. It's still there. I checked on it. That's not what that means. Oftentimes, you and I have the tendency to put a piece of tape over the emergency light that happens in our soul when the Spirit of God makes the Word of God real to you and I, and we act like Pharaoh. Not talking to me. I don't know who you are. I don't care who you are. I'm in charge here, not you. Leave me alone. Oh boy, he didn't stop preaching and going to meddling now. You see, the sad part about this is it didn't have to happen. God gave Pharaoh 10 very real chances, one plague at a time, to see what needed to be done, to make the right choice. But he was too satisfied in his pride and in his stubbornness. That's a pity in any way that you look at it. Pharaoh finally did not acknowledge that sin has a price. I've been told nearly all of my life that sin will take you further than you want to go, it will keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will cost you more than you want to pay. As a little kid, I heard this. It may not have been the exact words, but it was close enough. Pharaoh ignored God through Moses and Aaron as much as they tried until God decided that he wasn't going to take it any longer. Beware of how you ignore God. Please beware. It's life or death. Now, quickly, I want to read a few verses in chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up. I hate this. I don't even like hearing this. Which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bed chamber and upon thy bed and into the house of thy servants and upon thy people and into thine ovens and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. What kind of mental image are you having at the moment? I got frogs in the kitchen, frogs in the bathroom, frogs in the bed, frogs in the outside. I got frogs in the car, frogs on the car. I got frogs in the oven. I got frogs on the refrigerator. I got frogs everywhere. Now, I'm not scared of frogs. Don't necessarily like them, but I'm not afraid of them. But you know what? I don't want them on me. I don't want them in my house. I don't want them in my oven. I don't want them, good heavens, I don't want them in my bed. Okay? You know, certain crawly things comes across the bed, creates a stir in me. I don't like that kind of stuff. Not happy about that. So Moses and Aaron said exactly what God told them to say, but if you refuse, I will smite. That's what God said. If you refuse, I will smite. If you say no, welcome to the frogs. I'm not sure Pharaoh took him seriously. God said, I'm going to put frogs everywhere. And he did. Aaron stretched forth his rod, verse 6 says, and there were frogs and they covered Pharaoh's office. No. They covered all the land. The guy in charge said, no way. And everybody paid for it. Everybody paid for it. Wow. I don't know how that strikes you. And Aaron stretched out his hand, verse 6, over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and what? Covered the land of Egypt. Verse 7 is a hoot to me. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Really? Y'all know who Bill Engvall is? Country comedian. You know the phrase he uses? Here's your sign. Think about this. There's frogs everywhere you look. And Pharaoh's magician said, watch this. And they brought some more frogs. Who does that? What are they trying to prove? How stupid they really are? Well, I'm sorry, that's probably inappropriate. But it's what strikes me right now. Who does that? They thought they were demonstrating their power. They were demonstrating their ignorance. Why would you want more frogs when the whole place is covered in frogs? What was their point? What were they trying to prove? I read that verse the first time and I just busted out laughing. I thought, are you seriously? If there's a biblical version of here's your sign, boy, that's it right there. I'm reminded about the guy that got his semi-truck stuck underneath the bridge. And a police officer walked over to him, and Bill Engvall said, I was standing there listening to this whole process, and the police officer walked over to him, and I kept saying to myself, no, don't say it. No, don't say it. No, don't say it. And he walked up, and he said, get your truck stuck under the bridge. And he said, and I love that driver. That driver looked at him and said, nope, delivering this bridge, and I ran out of gas. Here's your sign. I mean, stop and think about it for just a minute. They were completely clueless as to what was going on here. So Pharaoh's had enough, and verse 8 comes in there. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and he said, entreat the Lord. Oh, do you know how hard that is if you're large and in charge and you don't answer to anybody? Nobody has authority over you. Do you have any idea how tough it was for Pharaoh to swallow this enormous pride that he had and go over to Moses and Aaron and say, hey, listen, would you talk to God for just a moment here? We'd like these frogs to be gone. Really? We'd like for them to be gone. Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice unto the Lord. Yeah, right. Right. Sure you will. All you're interested in is you want the frogs gone. You could care less about doing the right thing. See, that's what Pharaoh's heart is. It's hardened. You'd think that Pharaoh would get it. He doesn't get it. He just wants it to be over. I'm not interested in anything else except getting rid of these frogs. I love Moses' response to him, verse 9. Glory over me. That basically means it's your call. I will give you the authority. Give you the choice. You get to choose. You know, when I'm going to talk to God for you and for, oh, I love Moses, and for thy servants and for thy people. Guess what, Pharaoh? Your servants and your people are suffering right along with you, but you don't really care about them, do you? So I'm going to entreat the Lord that they'll be removed from all these folks that your sin has affected. So that, you know, they can be taken from your house and that they may remain in the river only. So Moses asked that all-important question, when would you like for me to talk to God so that the frogs can go away? Verse 10, and he said, tomorrow. Are you kidding me? How many of you, by show of hands, lost power during a hurricane ever? If the power company had called you and said, when would you like the power restored? How many of you, by show of hands, would have said, tomorrow or next week would be great? No, you want it right now. I'm eating out of a cooler. I'm burning candles. My air conditioner's not working. If you can get that thing back on now, I want it now. That's what you and I would say. Moses said, when would you like for me to talk to God so that this will go away? And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. You're kidding me. Tomorrow. Why tomorrow? What value is there in tomorrow? Would you want one more day with the frogs? Would you want one more minute with the frogs? Pride, stubbornness, willful disobedience, sin at the highest level. Pharaoh was not responsible for anybody and did not care if his actions affected anybody one way or the other. You see, we're not really interested in the life lessons that comes with our difficulties. We just really want it to be over with. So Pharaoh calls Moses and Aaron, and he tells them, you know, let's get rid of these frogs. Here's the thing that bothered me. I began to ask myself this question and read commentaries. Why in the world would Pharaoh want it to happen tomorrow? Why not right now? Because right now is a good time to stop whatever's creating the most miserable issue that's going on in your life. Well, maybe God will change his mind and he'll listen to me and maybe he'll do it my way for a change. Maybe they'll all just die today or tonight and I don't have to worry about it. I won't need to humble myself. Maybe they'll just go away. Maybe I won't have to acknowledge that he's God and not me. Maybe I won't have to be accountable to anybody. Maybe I won't have to change anything because I like it the way it is. Or maybe I don't have to pay the price whatsoever. Listen, you need to know this. You are not an exception to the rules that God makes. Neither am I. Doesn't make any difference how much you love him. Doesn't make any difference how dedicated you are to him. It makes no difference how long you have served him. The way my Bible reads, and I share this with you from my heart, having lived it myself, disobedience is a sin. Sin comes with consequences. And should we choose to not acknowledge that God is in charge? Should we choose not to acknowledge that we are accountable for our behavior and our speech and what we do or don't do? Should we fail to acknowledge that this is a problem that I have and that I need to change my ways? Should I fail to realize that there will always be some kind of a price to pay? Should I fail to acknowledge those things, I am inviting the judgment of God upon my life. I wish it were easier to say. It's not easier to say. Pharaoh will go down forever as a terrible example of what it's like to continue to ignore the clear call of God upon your life. For some of you, that call might be salvation. Maybe you've gone through your entire life and you've never, ever, ever prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, although there have been moments in the invitation where the Spirit of God has convicted you that you needed to make a move and give your life to Christ, and you have turned him off and walked away. Listen, it will get harder before it gets easier. When the Holy Spirit of God lays levels of conviction on you and I that we need to make some necessary change in our life, hear me, we hear it less the longer time goes on. That voice gets softer and quieter as we continue to depend on ourselves. I wish it were easier to say. Pride, stubbornness, hard-heartedness, willful disobedience, unaccountability, refusal to make necessary changes, they're all sins. They all come with a price. It was true for Pharaoh. It's true for us too. The same God that loved us enough to give Jesus Christ on the cross so that we might be saved. Make sure you hear and understand the flip side of the rejection. There is a price. I can assure you that's not popular preaching today, and you won't hear that in many pulpits because it makes folks uncomfortable. And sometimes if they're uncomfortable, instead of feel good, they don't want to come back. I pray that's not you. I pray that you will understand that it's part of my passion and part of my responsibility to love you with the truth. And if the truth is that your sins will find you out and it comes with a price, then you hear my heart. Some of you need to get saved. You see, coming to church don't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. And you got to be careful. Maybe you need Jesus. Maybe you've been saved, but you've never really been baptized after salvation. We need to stir that water and get you baptized. Maybe you've been visiting here for a while, and this is the church God's called you to come and be a part of. And you need to come and join. And today's the best day for that to happen. And we would love to have you do that. Maybe you're like Pharaoh in some ways and you just didn't want to hear it. Not wanting to talk about it because it's uncomfortable. It's frustrating. Maybe you need some altar time, and that's why those altars are here. And I want to encourage you. Don't you worry about what this church family would think about you if you come and prayed at this altar. You'd be more concerned about what God would think about you if you don't. And he's telling you to come. I'll pray with you. I will pray for you. I will stand with you. Be my privilege, whatever you do. If the Holy Spirit of God is telling you to move today, don't be like Pharaoh. Let God be God. You'll be glad you did. Stand with me as we pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, what a horrible example of rejection Pharaoh is. God, I'd pray that none of us would ever want or desire to be like him. Your word says that these things are recorded for our own edification, for our own understanding, for our own education. And Lord, we share those things because we love each other and we love you and we don't want to see harm happen to any of your people. But God, we struggle with that stubbornness from time to time, with that willful disobedience. Oftentimes, God, we would love for it to just go away. But we know better. So, Lord, help us to not give up, but, Lord, to surrender to you. We'll give you the glory, Father, for all you are and do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you come?